From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Joe Palca reporting the Putin-Trump relationship. What can we expect? U.S. President-elect Donald Trump, who has dismissed the idea that Russia hacked into the recent presidential election process, will receive a full briefing today from the leaders of the intelligence community in an unprecedented move for a president-elect. Trump has been highly critical of intelligence agencies, although on Thursdays he softened his tone somewhat with a tweet saying he's a big fan of U.S. intelligence. Mr. Trump's press secretary is Sean Spicer, appearing on American TV.
I think he's going to ask questions like that. Not questioning the intelligence, but questioning how the conclusions were arrived at.
VOA spoke with Alexander Bakru, who is the executive director of the Davis Center at Harvard University, specializing in Russian studies. She elaborated on why Russia and Putin seem to have such a vested interest in a Trump presidency.
Well, they were convinced that Hillary Clinton had regime change in Russia as one of her main objectives. The Russian people took to the streets after some debatable elections in 2011, and those protests on the street continued through 2012 and 2013. And many of the people in Putin's administration were convinced that Clinton was behind them as Secretary of State.
Well, what does she anticipate the Putin-Trump relationship is going to be like?
Now, what I think we're likely to see is there'll be an initial meeting between Trump and Putin, and it will go very well. There won't be very much substance, but they'll establish some kind of personal rapport. But the real question is going to come, what happens later when Putin does something to test Trump, which he inevitably will, and Trump sees that as possibly a betrayal or possibly an implication that he's not a strong leader, and then chooses to react with tweets or with something more serious.
This is VOA News. Soldiers in Ivory Coast launched mutinies in three cities on Friday in a bid for higher pay. Witnesses say gunfire erupted about 1 o'clock in the morning local time in Bouake, the country's second largest city. According to a journalist on the scene telling VOA that the soldiers looted weapons from local police stations and took control of the northern and southern entrances to the city. Similar mutinies broke out in the towns of Korhogo and Daloa. A 5.3 magnitude earthquake shook southern Iran's Fars province early Friday, killing four Afghan farm workers. The quake hit the village of Saifabad near the town of Konj, about 1,000 kilometers south of the capital of Tehran. Japan has temporarily recalled its ambassador to South Korea because of a statue. It's the statue of a comfort woman, and it was installed in front of the Japanese consulate in the South Korean city of Busan. Comfort women is a euphemism for women across Asia who were forced to provide sex to Japanese soldiers during World War II. A Japanese official said Friday the placement of the statue was extremely regrettable. Now, President-elect Trump is criticizing Japan's Toyota company, the world's largest automaker, for its plan to build Corolla cars in Mexico and then sell them in the United States. In a message on Twitter, Mr. Trump wrote, "No way." He went on to write, "Build plant in U.S. or pay big border tax." Toyota President Akio Toyoda told reporters Thursday the company wants to grow employment in whatever countries it operates plants, including the U.S. Toyota said he would watch very closely various decisions by Mr. Trump. Apple's CEO Tim Cook has taken a cut in pay. Apparently, 2016 revenues for the high-tech behemoth were down a bit from the year previous, so he's going to have to get by on $8.75 million this year. That's relative to the $10.25 million he received in 2015, basically a 10.5% pay cut. According to the filing, Cook's pay package is made up of a base salary of $3 million, up from $2 million last year. He also got over $5 million in non-equity incentive pay, down from $8 million. Mr. Cook also got over $377,000 in other compensation. Family, friends, and movie stars have gathered to say goodbye to actress Carrie Fisher and her mother, Hollywood legend Debbie Reynolds, at a private memorial service at the Beverly Hills compound where the two left next door to one another. Fisher and Reynolds died last week, one day apart. The 60-year-old Fisher starred in the original Star Wars trilogy. She died December 27th after suffering a heart attack 4 days earlier aboard a flight from London. And the 84-year-old Reynolds, an Oscar-nominated actress who shot to fame at the age of 19, died a day later after being briefly hospitalized. For more on all these stories, visit our website at voanews.com. Joe Palca reporting from Washington.
That's the latest world news from VOA.